As data centers drive an unprecedented demand for electricity, the energy system of the future will need to be smarter, more flexible, and powered by renewables. Could wave energy hold the key to powering our increasingly digitalized world? To answer that question and explore the fascinating convergence of wave energy and artificial intelligence, I'm joined by two experts at the forefront of these rapidly evolving fields. Dr. Yufei Tang, Associate Professor at Florida Atlantic University, and Inna Braverman, Founder and CEO of EcoWave Power. We discuss how AI could transform the way wave energy is operated, analyzed, and optimized, and we unpack how wave energy could help provide the clean power and cooling infrastructure needed for future data center developments. Our conversation highlights what the next generation of renewable infrastructure could look like, and how this collaboration between academia and industry is a template for innovation and progress. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast. Inna, Yufei, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to be talking to you both about, well, it's more than just renewable energy. It's a look into the future of how we can maximize renewables with the use of digital tools. So I think let's just dive straight in. Inna, why are we talking about renewable energy, or in this case, more specifically, wave energy and artificial intelligence? Why are we having this conversation right now?
So I think there's a very interesting correlation between wave energy, renewable energy, and artificial intelligence on two different layers. The first layer is that AI can significantly improve, upgrade renewable energy and wave energy in a ways that I'm sure that Yufei and I will elaborate in the next questions. That has a very important role to play in preventive maintenance, in higher energy yield, and so on. And on the other hand, renewable energy and wave energy specifically has a huge role to play in powering data centers, which the data centers are kind of the brain behind artificial intelligence. There's no artificial intelligence without data centers. There's no data centers without electricity, and preferably clean electricity. And what's specifically interesting in that regard is that a lot of the data centers are moving right now towards ports, towards the water, the ocean, the sea, because they use water for cooling. One of the biggest problems of data centers are the overheating. So right now they're kind of moving naturally into our zone so they can get the water for cooling, they can get wave energy for their electricity needs. So it's a win-win situation for everybody.
Yufei, a question to you. The grids of today are not designed for the AI and data center demands of tomorrow. Am I correct?
Yes, I would say the answer is yes, because the traditional power systems is designed for, think about that, we have a city and then we have a lot of communities. And then each house have a load and then they are so distributed. And then the whole power grid is designed, was designed in a way like that. But the data center is different. Data center is like a big load in one spot. So they will cause congestion of the power deliverable. And also they have a huge requirement of cooling, water, fresh water. If you put all those challenges together, this would be a problem for the current power grid.
Indeed. And Yufei, another question to you. EcoWave Power and the University of Florida Atlantic have been working together to try and solve some of these challenges. So let's talk about the concept of Wave GPT, because it's quite exciting and it's obviously quite pioneering. So tell us more about it. What exactly is Wave GPT?
Yeah, so this originally comes from a previous project that we worked with a utility company nearby. So we have been working with a Florida utility company, and then we have utilized these AI ChatGPT tools to help them to solve some problems. And then we think this tool can be also applied to many other different applications. So that's all the start of the conversation between FAU, me, and Inna, and EcoWave Power. So we want to bring the same capability of this AI capability to solve the critical problem, critical issue that faced by EWP. So the core concept is like we want to think about the traditional way how to operate in a power plant or wave energy converters. So they have a sensor deployed there, and then the sensor will measure, send to the control room, and then the system operator will, reading based on the, you know, measurement and stare at the screen and then make decisions. If some abnormality, some decision making need to be, you know, real-time control for the system, right? So that's a traditional way. So what we want to do is that, you know, we want to create a conversational style, like an AI assistant, to help the system to ease the job of the system operator, right? So we know that we all use ChatGPT, right? So not just ChatGPT cloud, right? So any other AI, they can easily understand the humans, you know, language. So natural language processing, right? So then we want to bring this capability to this system operation. So think about that. So traditionally, you need to stare at the screen and then make decisions. Now, what you want to do is just type or just to speak, use a mic to talk with this machine. And then this machine can help you to help your decision making and eventually help to control the power plant. So this is a very, I think, the future of everything should be.
Ina, what I want to know now is, how does this actually apply within the context of EcoWave Power and your technology and system?
So specifically with the Florida Atlantic University, the Wave GPT is, think of it as like AI analytics system that can help us easily, I would say, detect, like I would say it like that, like it's supporting time series analysis of wave conditions, power output, so you can know in real time, like what's the wave height, what's the power output, if you have any problem in the system, if your output is much lower than the waves, like in simple words. It can help you to do predictive maintenance and anomaly detection models, like meaning know that something in the system is not working right before anything actually, I would say, paused or crashed or stopped working. Like again, I'm doing it in simple words because I know that, you know, bit complicated, and it has the operational analytics level and decision support system. So meaning, like you face said, you can have, like right now people use ChatGPT to ask all kinds of questions. They ask about formulas and they ask about personal life. You can ask ChatGPT anything. So here you can think that you have an agent, and this is an agent that kind of represents the EcoWave power station. And you can use this agent and ask him, between waves of 1 to 2 meters, what was the energy production in the last 200 days? And it tells you produced 20 kilowatt, for example. And suddenly, and you're looking at your system and you're seeing that you're producing 5 kilowatt, but the wave data is similar to the history that you have. So you understand there's something wrong with the system. Something needs to be improved, something changed. So you can fix it much before it happens. If you had certain days in which you produce significantly more energy and certain days with similar condition where you produce much less, you can understand like what's the potential that you aspire to. Because if once you reach that amount of electricity, something happened during that time, right? It can be that outside it was very hot, so that's why the oil viscosity was lower, and that's why the oil had an easier time like traveling through the system, so that's why we were producing more kilowatt hour. But something changed, and that's something that's changed. We can detect it through the agent, we can detect it and learn it through AI, and then improve the system to always be responding and always be operating at its kind of max capacity.
This is fascinating and such an exciting glimpse into the power that these tools can bring. So my question is, and I would assume that this is something that you're using now for EcoWave Power, but could these tools be used beyond the EcoWave Power system? I mean, Yufei, perhaps you could answer this question. I mean, surely you'd be able to apply this across all renewable platforms.
That's a very good question. Also, the challenge here. So traditionally, for example, we use ChatGPT. That's more like it's called artificial general intelligence, AGI, right? So, but in fact, when you apply that directly to some specific domain, there's still a barrier there, right? So for example, if we use ChatGPT to solve, you know, use directly to EWP, EcoWave Power, so there may be still some gaps because it's an industry, right? So EW is a company. They have some kind of like their own advantages that cannot be, the data that not shared publicly available, that AI cannot be trained. Because you need to understand how ChatGPT, how OpenAI trained the model. They are using the publicly available data to train the model. If there's no such data, the model definitely cannot do that job, right? So EW has their own data that cannot be trained by OpenAI. So what we need to do is that we need to retrain the model. It's called a retraining, or you can call it domain knowledge infusing. I'm not going to use some kind of very complicated word. In general, it's like you have a very knowledgeable computer, but you need to customize this computer to give more, you know, terminology or further teaching to be more specialized for the problem that ELP is facing. So in general, that's the challenge here. So the answer to your question, yes, the AI can be utilized for all area, but it needs to be retrained and using the domain knowledge data and need to be customized for the specific application, and then it can be maximized its power.
That I really know from Dr. Yufei that before like he came up with the idea of WaveGPT and we started talking about WaveGPT, like the university did a project for, I think, Florida Light and Power that's called PowerGPT. So that's actually an amazing example of a similar project done for also for the electric industry, but for completely different like purposes and ingredients. And I don't know, Yufei, if you want to talk a little bit about that, because I know that's a project you already did.
In generally, you need to know that the power utility company has a lot of different data, not just like power system operating data, the current, the voltages, frequency, the power generation, the load profile. They also have a lot of, they need to deal with a lot of customers. Think about that. We all use electricity. We are customers. We are already part of it, right? So if you think about that, something happened in your house, you lose power. You probably will call the power utility, hey, what's going on, right? So think about that for a power company with millions of customers, how many such tickets they have they receive every day. So think about these tickets are like language, right? So they write down, and then this is where ChatGPT, this large language model, can do the best job, right? So traditionally, they use some kind of like human labor's customer service to do that. And now they're using AI to process those requests, those inquiry, you know, so automatically, way much faster, way much, you know, accurate. And then this can solve the problems, especially when, for example, I'm in Florida, we have a lot of hurricanes during this critical emergency, those, situations, they can be much more efficient than traditional ways.
Absolutely. I can only imagine the power of AI-enabled tools. I mean, human beings can't be replaced, but when there is a situation where there is a hurricane, you need to restore power as quickly as possible, these tools will become absolutely invaluable. But Inna, I do want to ask you, ChatGPT is not the only thing that you are working on. There is also a collaboration with the University of Michigan, and that is on AI-optimized coastal data centers. So I just want to delve into that a little bit more. Tell us more about that concept.
So it's a collaboration with the University of Michigan and also with the Florida Atlantic University. Basically, as I said in the beginning of our conversation, we use AI to improve our technology with WaveGPT, PowerGPT, or any type of other software. And AI data centers would need to use us for production of clean electricity. So what we wanted to create basically is a kind of the first of its kind pilot or sample project that where energy is being produced from the power of the waves. It's charging data centers off grid, basically through you put electric accumulators and it's charging the data centers, and to also involve in the project companies that do cooling, you know, that need to be near the water because they would use external water for cooling of their cooling liquid. So kind of one-stop shop solution. So basically, so let's say NVIDIA or Google or Microsoft or anybody or OpenAI or, you know, cloud, like anybody of the Anthropic, they want to have a data center right now. So sometimes they go and they have to separately look for a cooling solution because some cooling solutions are not very good. They take up to 40% of the electricity needs of the data center. That's like extreme amount. So they need to find the best cooling solution, the best accumulators, the best energy source. Like in Texas just now, the governor said, listen, you know, the party is over. I don't want to connect any more data centers to the grid. If you want to put a data center, you're welcome, but bring your own energy source and infrastructure with you. So basically, so we're showing an example where you have the energy source, you have the cooling layer, you have everything in one place. So that's the project that we want to develop. And we definitely want to do it also with one of the large company, one of the hyperscalers and so on. So That's very, I think right now everybody are looking for electricity. Electricity for data centers is something that the world misses a lot. Microsoft just announced that they're canceling data centers projects because they just don't have enough energy. And the solutions that are coming for power in these data centers, they're amazing, they're exciting, they're futuristic. Elon Musk is talking about doing energy from space. I heard somebody talking about doing all solar panels around the sun, covering the sun with solar panels and then taking massive amounts of energy. Or there's nuclear that became very, very popular under the Trump administration. Even the nuclear that is the least futuristic of the bunch, like, will not be able to power data centers according to the CEOs of these companies for the next like 20 years, the new type of the small nuclear that they're talking about. Wave energy, it's right here, it's right now, it's in proximity to the data centers. We can build a commercial asset in 18 to 24 months. So I'm saying, let's go all together for space in 20 years or 50 years. But today, right now, let's harness the power that planet Earth has to offer, and that's the power of waves.
I love that you keep it grounded, Inna. I mean, innovation is great. Blue sky thinking is beautiful, but we need something to power these data centers now. And like you say, small modular reactors and large nuclear, they have their place, but it can take a while. It can be costly. So we really are looking for a solution, you know, that's renewable, it's decarbonized, and it has a stable generation profile, such as wave energy.
I totally agree with Inna, right? So in general, you can have small modular reactor, you can have a new, you know, power plant, but that takes time to build, right? So it's not that easy to build a power plant with regulation, with all of those delays in building things. So I think that the advantage of this collaboration between EWP and FAU and Michigan is that because EcoPower has already have systems working around and for years, right? So it's quite reliable. And then we just need to figure out a solution to connecting the dots together and then to make it work. And this can solve the problem immediately. And also we talk about the wave energy because I've been working on this marine energy for years. You know, everyone talking about offshore wave, but it's not there yet. So everyone is just talking about a prototype, you know, testing. No such device has been deployed long-term offshore for a while because it's not that easy. You know, offshore is very expensive. And then one of the advantages that the EWP, EcoWave Power, has is that because it's still near shore, right? So people, the crew, the workers, maintenance, you know, can still easy to access to there. So that already provided advantages there to do maintenance, to do this kind of like a construction. I think, you know, that's a perfect collaboration. It's a perfect timing to work on this.
So it is really challenging to go offshore and perhaps less so to work near shore, such as in the case of EcoWave Power. Yufe, were there any specific challenges that had to be overcome as you were preparing for and researching this pilot?
Yes, there's always a challenges, right? So for example, one of the challenges is how to customize EWP's wave energy converters to match the load profile of a data center, right? As I said, the data center is different. Data center sometimes, if you look at the traditional load, it's like kind of like flat with some variations, right? So they have a clear pattern. But for data centers, if you take a look at the load, it's like a big bumps, and then zero big bumps, zeros. So think about that. If we're talking about powering such load, then you need to have a specific way to power this. And then one of the, you know, solution could be have energy storage. You definitely need to have energy storage, right? So like a buffer. So you can, you know, save the actual generated energy into the energy storage and then use it when you need it, right? So I think that's one of the challenges. The second challenge is that we are talking about AI, how to leverage AI to help to automate the control, the forecasting of the whole systems. There's no such product out there, you know, in the market. So we also need to develop such AI. As I said earlier, there's a ChatGPT there, but it cannot be used directly. We need to, you know, design our own AI model for our system. And then I would say customize AI for a system to make the, you know, to connect in everything together in general.
Inna, you wanted to comment?
One of the things that I spoke to NVIDIA's energy team, and they said that one of the things that they're mostly interested in also is, except just using electrical batteries, is basically having some sort of AI-controlled software that enables to match the compute task to the resource at hand. So, for example, let's say you have different compute tasks that the data center has to do. Some of the compute tasks are very easy. They need small amount of kilowatt hours, and some compute tasks are much more complicated. So let's say when you have a storm at the sea and you have massive amounts of power, your data center is performing the harder compute. And when there's like much lighter waves, you're doing the lighter compute. So that's something that's also very, very interesting and can save a lot of money and space on electrical accumulators. It wouldn't prevent the need completely, but can be an interesting software to actually match the compute, especially if your task is not urgent. Think that you need to submit some presentation that has like a lot of compute power that needed. You need a lot of modules and you need a lot of like, I don't know, pictures and high resolution items, but you don't need it for the next week. So you'll be able to tell to Claude or ChatGPT or wherever you're designing it, listen, I need in 1 week, I need a presentation. And, you know, and the presentation can be actually done in any of the days until, you know, until your deadline. So basically program your computers according to the available resource. And that's kind of a very simple but futuristic idea, because, you know, most of us, we don't operate like this now. But again, with the massive needs of energy for data centers, I think that at a certain point, any source of producing electricity or managing electricity effectively will become kind of super important.
I think that's what Ina said is really a challenge there. And the problem is that there's no such examples or tools out there. We are the, I would say we are the first one, could be the first one in the world to do this kind of job connecting everything together. Because as a faculty in the university, I like new challenges. You know, I don't like repeated work. I like new things, new challenges, because perhaps eventually we can lead to some new serial, right? So series, new algorithms. And then that's what I'm excited about.
Absolutely. And I think that's the power of academia coming together with private sector and industry and creating something new and pioneering. Ina, I did want to ask you, your focus has always been on wave energy. Was the data center scene always in your vision, or has that been sort of a new addition?
So it has always been part of the plan, even before AI era, to have like smart control system for the power station to enable like change in different parts to be, you know, to know how to forecast the upcoming wave and adjust systems, our technology subsystems, in order to work in the optimal way in accordance to different like environmental factors. But the analysis of data, the real-time decision-making was much slower and much less efficient without AI. AI can perform it in real time. It can look at massive amounts of electricity, analyze it, and come back kind of with the best solutions. So I think that AI was a natural kind of evolving, you know. We have our standard traditional automation system, like many, I guess, energy companies use, like solar panels use SCADA, and we called it WPV for our system. But now with the AI, we got so much more opportunity and so much more research and like additional layers of machine learning that we can add. And it, I find it very impressive. And in that regard, I really want to kind of give a compliment to Dr. Yufei and to the Florida Atlantic University, because, you know, usually when you're thinking about university, you're thinking about very long-term research, like 10 years, 20 years of sometimes research in subject. And then, of course, you get a lot of innovation. But like industry usually wants to like go faster, implement faster, try faster. And the Atlantic University of Florida is like amazing in that regard. Like Dr. Yufei is really an AI genius, I would say, because like he's thinking very fast, he's understanding very fast what we're looking to do, what we're looking to implement, how to present it in a way that, let's say we're submitting for grants, so how to present it to the grant reviewers in a way that they would actually like understand and support what we're doing. So I think that's something that's also very, very important, that, you know, like you said, that the industry and kind of the universities and the scientific part learn how to collaborate well together, because I think that's a big win-win, because the university gets practical experience and we get like, you know, significant amount of knowledge and access to systems that we don't necessarily have in the company. So I think it's an amazing collaboration.
Yufei, obviously each project is unique, But this could potentially be a template for how we innovate moving forward, this kind of collaboration between industry and academia.
Yes, so I always interested in working with the industry, right? So although I have a lot of projects from the National Science Foundation and DOE focus on the fundamental aspect of the algorithms and also those kind of research, right? So, but as you know, I also work closely with industry. I've been working with power utilities in Florida for many years. I'm the director of a funded, donated center here. And I've been working on practical problems. So I think working with between university and industry has a lot of advantages. First, as I say, right? So to always have the firsthand data. And especially nowadays, when we talk about AI, without the real data, AI is nothing, you know. So OpenAI, ChatGPT, they are now eager to have more data, right? So without data, they cannot do the, you know, response that accurately. They can give you some, you know, general response, but they cannot be, you know, that accurate to the reality, right? So I think one advantage, as I said, right, so to work with industry is to have real data. Second is that from my students, because I'm a professor, I have more than 10 students working with me. They love to work with industry because that's directly to the job, right? So think about that. They get a firsthand, you know, experience on those real system, and then they can bet they have some advantages than purely, you know, theoretical guys when they are on job market. I think that's also what I love the most.
So my last question to you both is, what is next? What are the key milestones that you are really looking forward to on this path and as you progress with this technology and with these concepts? Ina, let's start with you.
So I think two items which bring us back to the beginning of our discussion. So one, my absolute dream is to show an example of wave energy power in a data center, because I think that would be a game changer. Everybody would understand it's possible, it's easy, it's here, it's now. Big game changer to the industry. And the second is definitely working on the development works of our technology's AI capabilities in order to show improvement in preventive maintenance, in energy yield, and in everything positive that we can achieve. So basically show that there's a very positive kind of circular relationship, like AI improves us and we power AI.
And you, Fei, what are your thoughts?
So I have been working on marine energy for years, you know. So I started to work on this since I joined the FAU in 2016. So I really think EWP is doing a very good job in, you know, in this area, right? So they have a lot of real device deployed. So that is missing in majority of the industry. So I really hope that EcoWave Park is successful. So that's also one of the motivations that I really want to help EW to grow and then to be successful. You know, so I think that, you know, bringing those real system, one of the deliverable or one of the vision that I see from this collaboration is that eventually we will have a real system deployed, a prototype system. And that's way beyond the purely, you know, theoretical analysis and also this kind of simulation. You know, that in the university, when we develop a new theory, new algorithm, we do simulation. Simulation in general is a digital twin, right? So, but there's still a gap between the reality and also this gap between the, you know, between the theory and the reality. So working with EWP in general is, you know, eventually we will test on some real system that eventually will push this technology to a higher level of TRL, technical readiness level, and then eventually to be, you know, commercializable and then be successful.
Well, I can tell you it's really exciting, and we will be watching every step of the way and following your achievements and milestones and celebrating with you and sharing with our audience. So I would like to thank you, Ina and Yufei, for joining us and for sharing your insight.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners. Until next time, goodbye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions Podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Larg, and our producer, Rian Mostert. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.